Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Welcome in day two of the Jake Hassan takeover here on Send It In on the BetMGM Network, which is where you can find this show and our array of shows, whether that be the Daily Tip, Bet Sweats, You Better You Bet, BetMGM Tonight, our weekend programming on the BetMGM Network, at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, and on Twitter, which is where you can go, dear listener and dear viewer, to watch the show live, listen to the show live, and interact with the show live, which is where I am going to direct you right now, because A, there's not a whole lot happening unless you're really in the weeds on day two of the NBA draft, which I don't think a lot of you are, and there's about five baseball games. So it would be nice of you people to contribute to this show for once and go to Twitch, go to YouTube, go to Twitter, and go to the little chat box at the BetMGM Networks and send in your bets, send in your questions, send in whatever you got. I would appreciate a weather report if you're in the area of Chicago, because I have a kickball game that I'm trying to play tonight. And as you may have heard, this room is windowless. I don't know what the weather is. So if somebody could give me an update on that, and maybe our next guest will in a minute too, because he has the privilege of having windows in his home. We'll get to that in just a second. But I would appreciate anything you have to interact with the show here on Send It In while it's the Jake Hassan takeover. You can follow me on Twitter at @Jake_Hassan, by the way, would be greatly appreciated. And as I said, the BetMGM Network, Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter, where you can interact with the show live. No, Sean, I do not want a weather report at Indy because it's a fake city that I don't care about. Anyway, moving on. Sean, and behind the scenes, you can't see him, is very upset that I just said Indianapolis is fake. I digress. We press on. Appreciate all of the interaction from you, the listeners and the viewers at the BetMGM Network, Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. All right, I have filibustered and done the housekeeping enough. You guys want to hear about the sports. And like I said, there's about six MLB games, which we'll get to the full card. We'll do some futures here in just a little bit. But first, we have to talk about day one of the NBA draft, where all of these new rookies ended up, what the best fit is. We have some odds as well for Rookie of the Year for the 25-26 season. So even though I'm not going to see him tonight because he hates me and doesn't want to play kickball, apparently, I can't let him get away that easy. At @Isaac_Trotter on Twitter. You know him. You love him. Contributor for CBS Sports. Writer for 24/7 Sports. In the weeds on college basketball. First of all, buddy, how are you? And thanks for being on. And let's get into it. And how are we feeling after day one of the NBA draft?
Certainly interesting, right? Yesterday, I think, was like the Cooper Flagg experience, right? Everyone got to see his hometown and everything that goes into it. But I thought it was a really interesting fallout for numerous options that opened the door in the Rookie of the Year race. And, you know, we talked about this last summer. I think right now might be the best time as any to bet the Rookie of the Year. Last year, we got Stefan Castle on this show at 11-1, 12-1. And we'll kind of get into some of those different things right now. But right after they get drafted is a really interesting time to just to peruse those depth charts, start to get an understanding of what type of role that they're going to have. And if there's anything in the Rookie of the Year race that we know, it's not necessarily about talent. It's way more about year one opportunity. And there's some really fascinating names on the board here.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I wanted to get you on today, because like you said, last year we talked and you gave out a bunch of different numbers, and some of them were some ultra long shots, because you watch these guys year round. You are in the weeds on college basketball. You see the usage, you see the fits. So that's why I wanted to bring you on. And just really quick for our listeners and viewers, the odds right now at BetMGM, the sports report in Vegas, the title sponsor of this show and the BetMGM network, NBA Rookie of the Year odds are up. Cooper Flagg, your obvious favorite, -220. Five, followed closely by, well, not closely, I guess, but you know what I mean. Trey Johnson, 7-1, Ace Bailey, 8-1, Dylan Harper, 11-1, and then a huge drop to VJ Edgecombe at 25-1, Konka Knipple at 25-1, and Derek Queen at 30-1. Isaac, it doesn't have to be one of those guys, but let's start with Flagg. Do you think this is a right price? Is he the most likely to win? Are we just looking for good numbers to try and take shots at Cooper Flagg? And how do you see him fitting in right off the rip with the Dallas Mavericks?
He should be the favorite. I think he's ready-made for the NBA game. The way he plays defensively, his passing, his motor, all of those are high-level stuff. You know, I think the opportunity in Dallas is interesting, right? Like, one of my criteria that I look at for Rookie of the Year bets is, are you a top three option on your own team? If you're kind of breaking down Cooper Flagg's fit in Dallas, I think he is third when he's healthy. AD is probably in that mix. Kyrie, when he gets healthy, is certainly a top two option. And then Flagg, I think, would probably be that number three option there, ahead of guys like a Klay Thompson, ahead of PJ Thompson and stuff like, that's kind of how I have viewed his fit there. So I think he's going to probably be the favorite. I think it makes sense why he's in that 190 to 225 range. Chop that around a little bit. But I do think that, like, it wouldn't be that crazy if his offensive numbers next year don't necessarily blow you out of the, you know, blow some like rookie record for scoring, because Kyrie's going to take a lot of shots when he's healthy, because AD's going to take a lot of shots when he's healthy. And I think Cooper is an unbelievable prospect, but he's so unselfish. Like, I don't think he's going to walk into every NBA game being like, I got to score 27 a night. So I think he's going to play well, but I wonder if the numbers or his stats aren't necessarily going to be quite as stunning as maybe his impact on the game. I think his impact on the game could be better than some of the raw counting stats he could put up, because he's going into a team that wants to win, wants to compete. And, you know, he's not going to get a 27% usage rate and get 25 shots a game and get to score, you know, 24 points a game without really even trying, without any, you know, implication on what the score of the game is.
Well, that leads into the next segue. The next obvious question is, who jumps out at you right away with these, whether it's price play or whether it's just the fit and irregardless of price, who jumps out at you as somebody who's going to have the opportunity, somebody you want to take a shot with at Cooper Flagg, and who you think a price is going to drop or they're just going to be in the mix?
From an opportunity perspective, I don't think you can bet anybody other than Ace Bailey, right? Or Trey Johnson. Those are the two guys that went to spots where I think they can play a lot right away. Yesterday, when the odds first came out, Ace Bailey's opening number at multiple books is around 17-1. The sharps have been all over this, down to 7-1 at some spots. I understand that, because if you look at that Utah depth chart right now, like, who is really, like, I mean, Lauri Markkanen's one, but there's a lot of question mark. Colin Sexton, like, Ace Bailey's going to be a top three option on that team for a really smart coach. You know, I think that there's been a lot of misconceptions with the Ace Bailey conversation during the pre-draft stuff, and even yesterday, where people are labeling him as this, you know, high ceiling, low floor, could potentially be a big bust candidate. I don't see that at all. He's 6'9". He could cover a lot of ground defensively. He has really soft touch from a shooting perspective, range out to the three-point line. I think he's going to be in the league forever. I think he's got a really high floor. And so with this opportunity at Utah under a really smart coach, I could see him potentially being successful for a team that has a lot of runway to give him, you know, a huge opportunity. Same thing goes for Trey Johnson as well at Washington. Like that team, it's CJ McCollum, it's Bub Carrington, Alex Saar. Like he's easily a top three option on that team. So if we're using that precedent of you have to be a top three option, I think Trey Johnson or Ace Bailey are the only two guys that really meet that criteria right now. There's some deeper long shots down the board that we get to, but I don't think you could touch Vijay Edgecombe right now. He's behind Maxey, he's behind Joel Embiid, he's behind Paul George when healthy. I don't think you can necessarily touch Dylan Harper. I love him as a player, but he's behind Wemby, De'Aaron Fox, Steph Castle, Con Kadipal, same deal. I think he's behind LaMelo, Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges. So those guys don't meet the cut for me. Now, if something happens and changes, maybe a trade here, that could open the door for that. But all three of those guys are probably projected to be fourth options, and that's not historically someone we see win Rookie of the Year.
I think people are going to hear your case for Utah, for Ace Bailey, saying, oh, well, there's not a lot of guys there. And then they're going to go, well, I don't want to bet Ace Bailey at now 7-1 at BetMGM. And their eyes are going to drift, and they're going to say, well, what about the other guy that Utah drafted? And they're going to see a huge number for Walter Clayton Jr. It's 100-1 at BetMGM right now. And then they're going to think, oh, well, Florida and the run that they went on. Is there any hashtag value on Walter Clayton Jr. at a huge number where, to your point, in Utah, there's going to be a lot of shots to go around? Or is it just Ace Bailey's going to suck up a lot of that usage and maybe Clayton's more of a distributor or off the bench? Why are you not keying in on Walter Clayton Jr. at a bigger number? Because I think some people are going to try and look at that price.
I don't think that's crazy at all to throw a little on Walter Clayton Jr. at that type of number. I think Ace is probably the guy that front office is going to try to establish early and get him on the floor. But they also love Walter Clayton Jr. I think he's ready made to come in and score at a high level. He can make pull up threes at a high rate. He made the most pull up threes of anybody in this class. That's a translatable skill for small guards that you just have to have. And I think offensively, he's going to be ready to go from the jump. I don't think it's nuts to throw a little flyer on him. He would be one of the guys that would meet that criteria for me if the depth chart breaks his way, where he could have a really huge role. And I think we already know, like, you know, just how much of a veteran player he is, how many years of college basketball he's played. Like, he's ready for this. Like, I don't think there's going to be a huge adjustment period into the NBA, because the SEC last year was one of the most athletic, physical, best leagues in college basketball. And Walter Clayton Jr. was the best player in that league for long stretches, considering, you know, outside of Jahni Broome from Auburn.
Let's talk about just other rookies that maybe, if you're not looking to bet them in the Rookie of the Year, you don't think they're going to be a big player there, but who's a guy that got drafted last night where he went to a good situation and you have him circled of, this is a guy I'm going to want to back on a game-to-game situation from his props or in general?
Good question. You know, I think I like Cedric Coward to Memphis a lot. I think that he is an actually a real intriguing sleeper for Rookie of the Year, because who's third on that depth chart behind Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant? Like, he could easily be that number three option. And he's 6'7". He has a 7'2" wingspan, one of the purest jumpers in college basketball. Like, we've seen Ja Morant year after year, annually, just creates a ton of open corner threes. That is Cedric Coward's game. So Desmond Bane is gone. I think you could see Cedric Coward come in and be a really impact player right away. He's a grown man too, right? Like, he's missed almost all of last year with an injury, but fully healthy, huge frame, older player, great story, transferred from Division III to Eastern Washington, and now Eastern Washington to Washington State, slowly gotten better and better and better. So the character concerns, there's none of them there. Everybody loves this kid. He's going to be a big-time worker, and he's going to really, really – I think he's going to be a pro right away and be ready to go. You know, I think from a prop perspective on a game-to-game basis, I'm fascinated what the Pelicans are doing. They made some really weird selections yesterday, but – Derek Queen heading there, like, if he has an opportunity to play, like, he's been productive at every single stop. You know, we'll see what happens with Zion Williamson, but if Derek Queen and Eves Meese are that front court, Eves is more of like that defender who can be a really good rim protector, and it opens up Derek for an ability to just be you, and he's an unbelievable offensive player. So I think he could have some really, really big nights in year one. Same thing with Jeremiah Fears, who they drafted as well. As tantalizing as any guard prospect in this draft, if he finds a way to shoot it like he did when he was a younger prospect, Jeremiah Fears is going to be a big-time player and probably be one of the better players if we did a redraft in 3 or 4 years.
who's a player, not like Cooper Flagg's the obvious answer of who's a player that went to a situation where he moves the needle and makes that team better right away and is going to make change your opinion on that team. But who's somebody who's not the obvious, like a Cooper Flagg, that they went to a situation where you're thinking that makes that team better and I'm going to want to bet them to maybe make the playoffs, go over their win total, or just win more games than you think and bet them on a game to game standpoint? Who's someone where you look at where they went and you think that's a great situation for them?
I look at San Antonio. I think San Antonio found two immediate impact rotation players yesterday. Obviously, Dylan Harper's the headliner there, but Carter Bryant, what a smart addition there in the middle of the first round out of Arizona. Really elastic wing. He moves really well. Like, you turn on his tape and you're like, yeah, that looks like an NBA player. And he can really shoot it from 3-point range as well, which has been a big talking point of what San Antonio needs to add. So I just love the mix of what this San Antonio group looks like. Maybe it could be a little bit choppy next year as De'Aaron Fox and Steph Castle and Dylan Harper kind of figure out their way around Victor Wembanyama. But you throw in Carter Bryant, you throw in Dylan Harper. I think those two dudes are like immediate impact, ready to go, going to help you, going to play 15 to 18 minutes for Carter and probably 23 to 28, 29 for Dylan Harper. I feel like San Antonio is a team that, like, they're on the verge of being, you know, a really, really good team both now and then also, like, the vision of that program and that franchise. I just feel really, really good about them long term with Harper, who I think, you know, I don't think the Cade Cunningham comps for him are crazy at all. Like, he is so big, so physical, and the game just, he just makes the game look so easy. And I think that translates right away in the NBA, even if, you know, like we talked about earlier with the rookie of the year bet, like, you know, he's probably not going to be a guy that's like going to have 27 every single night or have every single shot because they're running through Wemby.
Isaac Trotter at Isaac double underscore Trotter on Twitter, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports. Before I let you go, I know you have one baseball play you want to give out. So before we let you go, please, the floor is yours.
Big dumper 2.0. It's Cal Raleigh against Simeon Woods Richardson. If they can get the game in, that's my one concern, right? The weather's pretty bad today. But Simeon Woods Richardson, lefties hit over 340 against him. A pretty heavy fastball slash sinker pitch selection, pitch arsenal. Cal Raleigh, one of the best hitters in baseball, over 1.5 bases is minus 115. So I think that's a bet.
Isaac, you're the best, buddy. I will miss you tonight, but we'll talk soon. Have a good one, buddy. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Isaac Trotter at Isaac double underscore Trotter, getting you ready to bet NBA Rookie of the Year and giving you all of the fits and things and angles that he is looking at after day one of the NBA draft. We do have some Major League Baseball to get into, a couple games that have just started. A's and Tigers, that one is in the bottom of the first, tied at zero. Blue Jays and Guardians, that one also at zero in the top of the first. I do have a couple bets if you want to jump in live on these. I like Nick Kurtz over 1.5 total bases, hit a home run yesterday. He has been on a tear over his last 19 games, hitting .310 with 10 home runs. Really like the angle on him going against a guy for Detroit who has not pitched in the majors in 4 years. And Blue Jays and Guardians, I like Carlos Santana over 1.5 total bases, is plus 165. He just hit a home run last night as well. Very good history against Kevin Gausman, who is terrible on the road. But as for the rest of the card, the abbreviated card, as it were, we will get into that in just a little bit. I want to talk for a couple of minutes before we get to your questions, your comments, your bets, which you can send in, by the way, here on Send It In. See what I did there? That stunk. Not going to do it again. At the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, and on Twitter, there's a little chat box function. Some would call it a bettor's box. I wouldn't do that. I leave that up to your discretion to call it what you will. But all of that to say, you can send in your questions, comments, bets, whatever you're feeling, whatever's on the mind. Weather update in Chicago would be greatly appreciated if you really want. If you want to help a brother out, that would be appreciated. But go do that at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. We will get to your questions, comments, and bets in just a couple of minutes. But we talked AL Cy Young yesterday for a few minutes, in which, by the way, Jacob deGrom, his price has massively changed after we talked about him yesterday. Not saying it's because of me, but mostly it's because he took a no-hitter in the eighth inning against the Orioles, pitched an unbelievable game for deGrom, who has a sub-2 ERA in June. He's been fantastic, has not allowed more than two earned runs in a start going back to April 11th. If Jacob deGrom's going to be healthy, I kind of think that he's on track here to maybe be in the conversation for this award, especially if Tariq Skubal has another start where he stumbles and that door continues to just creak open a little bit. Hunter Brown also pitches today. He's your second favorite for that award. We'll talk about him once we get to the card. But as far as National League Cy Young goes, Paul Skene's still minus 275. After he had arguably the worst start of his career yesterday, four innings, four earned runs, two walks, just four strikeouts for Paul Skene's. And so far, he's been awesome still. He's got a sub 2.5 ERA. But now, this is multiple times in the last couple of weeks here where Paul Skene's has gotten tagged. Remember, back in May against the Cubs, allowed three home runs and only went five innings in that one. And the Pirates, it's so far in his last three starts, five innings, six innings, four innings. He's getting knocked around a little bit. He's minus 275. Zach Wheeler goes out yesterday and spins another gem, six innings, eight strikeouts, doesn't allow a run, looks really, really good for the Phillies as well. And Yoshinobu Yamamoto, granted it was against the Rockies, but has another really good start for the Dodgers as well. Christopher Sanchez goes for the Phillies today. I think that minus 275 is maybe way too long or short, whatever, of minus price for Paul Skene's when he stumbled a couple times in the last month. We'll see how he rebounds. He's Paul Skene's. He's still really, really good. And yeah, maybe he just wins, but with the way Logan Webb is pitching and with the way that Zach Wheeler is pitching, and you know, these voters are dying to give Zach Wheeler the award. I mean, look at Zach Wheeler's finishes in the Cy Young over the last handful of years, really since he became a Philly especially. But last year, you know, finishes inside the top three, finishes second last year, finishes sixth the year before that, finishes second in 2021. Zach Wheeler has always been a bridesmaid and never the bride. These voters are dying to give Zach Wheeler his flowers now as his 35 years old. He's been in the league for over a decade at this point. I just think that minus 275, maybe too big of a minus price for Paul Skene's, especially the price didn't move after yesterday's stumble, which, yeah, he's Paul Skene's. He's built up a lot of trust and equity, but a lot of really good pitchers there. I think there's maybe an opportunity to be made here. And you're probably saying, all right, Jake, you're waxing poetic about this stupid award market. If you're going to make a bet, who are you going to try and beat Paul Skene's with? I think any of these guys. I mean, I'm not going to bet Zach Wheeler at plus 450 because all the reasons I just said, he always finishes second and third and never wins. But Logan Webb at plus 850, I think, is decent hashtag value. And I still think I'm going to keep banging the table for Christopher Sanchez. 30 to 1, 40 to 1, a really long price for a guy that has been nails. He had his best start of the year in his last start, and he goes against the Astros today. We'll get to that game in just a couple of minutes here when we go through the rest of the card. Mackenzie Gore had a really good start too, but he's so erratic, I just can't get behind him. I think that his time, hashtag his time, is coming maybe next year for Mackenzie Gore. But let's go to you, the people. We'll talk about your bets, everything that you have on your mind, what you got for the abbreviated card today. We start with one of our regulars, Reed Phillips. Hello, my friend. He says, hello, Senor Hassan. Spelled it with two S's. That's okay. I'm willing to let that slide. How do we feel about a Vlad Jr. home run today? Are there weather issues today that we should take into account? Well, with the Blue Jays going against the Guardians, I'm not going to pretend that I know what the weather is like in Cleveland right now, but going against Tanner Bibee, who, yes, he's pitched much better of late for the Guardians, but he's a guy that gives up home runs in chunks, and Vlad Jr. isn't having the best power year, but he's still a guy that can rip them off and can run into one, so I don't hate the look on the Vlad Jr. home run with that one. Sports wager, Jake. Who ruins my parlay on BetMGM? Sports born in Vegas, by the way. Send it in, and the BetMGM network presented to you by our friends at BetMGM. But the sports wager home run parlay, or no, it's a hit parlay, excuse me, at plus 275. Schwarber, Altuve, and Bohm. One plus hit, same game parlay, plus 275. Honestly, any of these guys can ruin it for you because you're fading Hunter Brown and Christopher Sanchez, two of my favorites, by the way, who I really like. If I had to guess, it would be Bohm going against Hunter Brown, who is nails when he pitches in Houston, and Alec Bohm. And that guy goes on the back of a milk carton every now and then. So he's not somebody I generally want to go against, but I wish you the best of luck. If I had to pick somebody who ruins it for you, it would be Alec Bohm. B. Mills, another of our regulars. Jake, how do you like these looks? Phillies and Astros first three under 1.5. It's a tease for when we get to the card in just a little bit. Kyle Tucker, Ian Happ, and PCA home runs individually going against Andre Pallante. Don't hate that. He does have a very high ground ball rate, though. It would be my only concern there. Shota Imanaga and his return from the injured list for the Cubs under 2.5 earned runs, and the Dodgers money line parlayed with the over. Never going to go against the Dodgers when they're playing the Rockies. Shota Imanaga, I will say, I give you credit for backing a guy in his first start off the injured list when we haven't seen him for a couple of months, B-Mills. You're a braver man than I am. Furman 50, today's favorite home run, 1.5 bases underdog. I assume that is what you are asking me, my favorite one. We will get to those when we get to the car. I will say the 1.5 bases, my favorite was Nick Kurtz. He has been unbelievable. He's been on fire. If you want to jump in on that live, going against Dietrich Enns, who makes his return to the majors for the Tigers today after 4 years in the minors and in Korea and Japan. I think if you want a 1.5 total bases right now, Nick Kurtz is the guy that I like the most. As far as underdog, we will get to that when we get to the car. B Mills did the AccuWeather for me, which I very much appreciate. 93 with a real feel of 105, 53% humidity. Ugh! God, as somebody that's a genuine sweaty boy, don't love that, but it is what, especially because our team shirts are light orange. Get ready to learn Jake Hassan's sweat stains, Bucktown, because it is going to be out and present. B-Mills said, also, Skeens may be on the second worst team in baseball. That can't help his candidacy. With baseball, it's so weird with awards. Usually team success isn't correlated with awards. I mean, think of how many times Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout won MVPs with those terrible Angels teams. Rick Porcello won Cy Young with the Mets a few years ago. So I don't think team success is generally correlated with those awards. I do get what you're saying, though, B Mills. B Redman said, taking a shot on 2+ total bases for Tucker, Suzuki, Crow Armstrong, and the Cubs over 3.5 runs plus 525. I like that look for the price, especially going against Pallante, who is very so-so, very hit or miss. I do like that look for your parlay there, B. Redman. Appreciate you guys coming along as always. Appreciate you jumping into the Definitely Not Bettors box and jumping into our comments. If you have more bets, more questions, things that you want to contribute to the show in the last 4 or 5 minutes here at the BetMGM Network, Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube is where you can find us. But let's get into my card. Let's get into my bets. As I said, if you want to jump in live on Carlos Santana or Nick Kurtz, over 1.5 total bases for those guys. I like both of them. A couple of pitchers that I'm fading with Kevin Gausman and Dietrich Enns, respectively, in those games. But let's get to everything else. A game that, I am hot and bothered by this game. I looked at this game and I had to sit back and fan myself because you all know how I feel about Hunter Brown and Christopher Sanchez. Two guys that we have from before the year at really long prices for National League Cy Young with Christopher Sanchez and American League Cy Young with Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown, your second favorite for American League Cy Young, by the way. And that's a thing too. Tarik Skubal, the price didn't really change. He's still a pretty significant minus money favorite for American League Cy Young, despite Jacob deGrom pitching awesome yesterday, despite Hunter Brown pitching today against the Phillies, despite Garrett Crochet pitching awesome literally hours after Tarik Skubal did. I just think that's interesting. I think that creates some betting opportunities. But as far as this game goes, give me the first three under. And we were on that in the bettors box as well. And I like the first three under 1.5 at plus money. I think that's a great look for both of these pitchers. Like I said, Hunter Brown has been absolutely nails at home, and Christopher Sanchez coming off maybe his best start of the year against this Astros team. I really like the look for that one, especially getting plus money. I couldn't believe that. Another under that I like today, and wait until the last second in this one, because the over as a total in general is getting betting bet, and I'm going to check it really fast here at BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas, by the way, the title sponsor of this network and of this show. Send it in, by the way. Let's see. That total is currently at 10, and it's still getting bet over. It is the Rays and the Royals. Everyone's betting the over in this game, and part of that is weather. I get it, but I'm taking the first five under in Tampa Bay and Kansas City. Michael Lorenzen has been very good at home for KC. 3.30 ERA when he's pitching in Kansas City. And more importantly, on the other side, Shane Baz is filthy, but the Royals can't hit. Nobody in that lineup has any juice whatsoever at the plate. And I really wish that wasn't true as I wipe my tears at night with the Jack Caglione tickets. That guy is hitting about .076. Thanks, buddy. Really appreciate all the work that you've done for us and all the content up to this point. And I just cry and cry. Anyway, I like the first five under. I bet it under 4.5 at +125. I still think that's good. But if you want to wait till the last second and get an under five or under 5.5 at a good price too, it looks like everyone's just going to bet this under over. Excuse me. So wait till the last second, but I bet the first five under 4.5. I ain't scared. Last bet on the card before I give you the underdog and the home run of the day, the Jakey Rakes, just for funsies, home run play of the day, by the way. Atlanta and New York, the Mets, over 8.5. I like this over because Griffin Canning has been terrible in his last three starts, and he has very bad history against this Atlanta team, and Grant Holmes can't pitch away from Atlanta. They're in New York for this one, but Grant Holmes has an ERA of almost 5 when he pitches on the road, so Holmes, not good away from home. There's a joke there somewhere. My brain cannot figure it out. Sorry. I can't win them all. Can't win this one. Not winning a lot of them recently, except the bets, which hopefully we win most of them today. Over 8.5. And that one, the homeless. That's good, Sean. Appreciate that. Thank you for the alley-oop for the layup on that one. The underdog that I like today. Don't you wish I was saying the Rockies? No, I'm not. Of course I'm not. But I do like the Braves to win their game. I think they're the underdog. And the Jakey Rakes, just for funsies, home run play of the day, Matt Olson, to hit a home run off of Griffin Canning. That does it for sending in. Thank you to Isaac Trotter for coming on. I've been Jake Hassan. Same time, same place tomorrow on the BetMGM Network. Sean, hit the music.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.